Well, good morning. It's a wonderful time again to be back in this God's country. It's wonderful. It's a bit hot outside, but you know, we feel at home right away. It's hot in the Philippines, and in South Africa, if it's summertime, it's also hot. But it's winter this time, so. You know, when you talk about South Africa, sometimes it's hard to connect South Africa with snow, right? But we do have snow. When it's winter time, we get snow. In Johannesburg, not much, but towards about 2 to 3 hours drive away from our place, you know, they have snow all the time, every year. So, and we get like 2 feet of snow. And that's kind of scary for us because our houses, we don't have a proper, you know, centralized heating system. So, if you visit us during winter time and you are planning to remove your coat because you are entering our house, no, don't do that, because we are even preparing more blankets for you because it's cold. By the way, my name is Dean. My wife there is Sheba. And we have 2 kids, Shireya and Shideas. We are the Padaihans. We are missionaries of Thanks to Come Mission in South Africa. And in this, November or December, the Heats, Ravi and Tigwin and their kids will be joining with us in South Africa. So we are so blessed to have them. We've been praying for more missionaries to come to South Africa. If you're not doing anything, all right, and you want to visit South Africa and then later on plan to be missionaries, hey, you are very much welcome. All right? If you go at once together, please inform us ahead of time, because we do have places that you can stay. But it's a beautiful country, wonderful people there. Before I go to the Word of God, I just want to mention some of our ministries that us as the Padaihans, and then eventually the Heats will be joining with us. We have Bible studies every day except Monday. Monday is our day off, our family time. Tuesday to Fridays, we have Bible studies every night. On Wednesdays, we actually have 2 Bible studies. And then every 2nd and 4th Saturdays, we have our Bible schools. We have 3 Bible schools, one in Boxburg, one in Chipisong, and also one in Sushangovi. In each of these Bible schools, we have 3 or 4 pastors that are teaching students, averaging 10 to 15 in each of the Bible schools we have. We have church planting ministries. Our family planted one church in Kenton Park in 2006, and then one church in Boxburg in 2015. And in 2018, we planted another one in Pietermaritzburg. Now, we have another missionary family. They planted 2 churches in 2 years, and they have their daily Bible studies also. But, you know, they have to report what they are doing themselves. But I don't want to rob other missionaries of their own ministries and their own glory. It's wonderful to have our own ministries, and we are so blessed to be having a lot of things that we can be so proud of what the Lord is doing through us. We have a national conference, missions conference, leadership summit, youth conference, youth camp, kids ministries. We have outreach program to hospitals, orphanages, old age homes, and community places where we have church planting programs, especially in poor areas. We also have campus ministries, and we would like to continue doing them when we go back. If you want to know more about our ministries, the HITS information there, we have our table outside. Everything there is for free, except I think the slippers, the slippers that belong to our kids. Please don't take those. They will be crying. But we have prayer cards there and brochures and newsletters. And if you want to sign up, we have sign up papers provided there also. All right. Now, as a family, we would like to thank you for your partnership with us in prayers. Some of you are our friends on Facebook and I think Instagram. And then as a church, you have been so faithful. You know, I went to South Africa in 2003 with 3-year visa on my passport and $20 in my pocket. There's a big difference between faith and stupidity. And at that time, the difference was a very thin line, you know. But I always believed, like Brother Robbie, I always believed that God called me to be a missionary. And when there was a choice to be made between becoming a lawyer and all the scholarship program provided and becoming a missionary, I chose to become a missionary. And I never regretted that day that I enrolled, you know, in a Bible school and became a pastor. And then in 2003, I became a missionary. I never regretted that day because even though I'm not a lawyer right now, I mean, I'm working like a lawyer, right? Mediating in behalf of Christ, you know, the sinful world to our Savior. That's far much better than being a lawyer. And hey, I mean, I travel throughout the world along with my family. You know, who among you traveled to 32 states in 4 months? You must be crazy if you're doing that, right? But we do that. We did that in 2014, and we hope to surpass that record. And so we are very blessed to have that opportunity. Now this morning I would like to talk about mission. And when I talk about mission, I'll be talking about our message and us as messengers or ambassadors of Jesus Christ. I'll be talking about ministry and methods also. But when we talk about mission, why is it important to be part of it? Why do you support missionaries that you are not even so familiar with? And you only got to see every 4 years or 3 years. And why, as a church, you invest your money and your prayer time praying for other countries and other people? Why is it important to be part of it? Now, in 2014, I spoke about 3 points. The church must be academic, right? We have to study the Bible, rightly divided. And I bless this church, and I bless Pastor Greg being an academic person, writing books and preaching to you. I mean, you have a very solid foundation with God's Word. But that's just one thing, right? We have to be academic. We also have to be evangelistic. We have to be very excited to share the things that we have learned. Because we have good things, right? If you receive good things from the Word of God, from your pastor, from this church, you have to go out and share them to others. Don't let others die without hope, when in fact you have hope in your hands. Don't let people die without eternal life, when in fact you have eternal life in you and in the Word of God. We have to be sharing the things that we receive. And then we have to be graphic also. I use the word graphic from the word graph. You know, a monitoring scale following the ups and downs. You know, some people are saying, well, in our church, you know, there are ups and downs. I said, yeah, praise the Lord, because it means you are alive. Because if it's just a straight line, it's boring. Beep, 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 you are dead. It's just a matter of time. You know, someone will pray over you and declare you totally dead. But you don't want to die, right? You want to be graphic, ups and downs. You follow life. You follow what's going on. You want to be part of something that's alive. You want that type of a person. But this morning, I'm going to talk about mission. And, you know, when we talk about mission, that word comes from a Latin theological term, missio Dei, and actually it means the mission of God, or the sending of God. When we talk about mission, it's not about things to come mission. It is not about Grace Missions International. It's not talking about local or international mission. It is talking about God and His desire for this world. It is always about Him. It talks about His desire. It is about His mission, His word, His strategy, His method. And it's about Him and us, members of Christ's body. So it's not about me. You know, we brag about our ministries. Yes, we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be His ambassadors in the foreign land, but it's not about what we do. It's all about Christ and His glory, His plan, and about God and His plan for the entire world. It is based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, 3, and 4. I think you are very familiar with this verse, but let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I think some of you even memorized this verse. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved." God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? That's God. It's not me. It's not you. It is God who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why He started a mission. That's why He has given us a missionary book. That's why He has given us a strategy that we can employ as we do this desire of God. Our mission is not actually our mission. It is His mission. He owns it. He started it. He is a missionary God. Amen? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, for example, it was God Himself looking for man. It was not man looking for God. It was God looking for man. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it was God first who promised a redeemer. It was not man promising that, "Lord, one day I'll be okay. Lord, one day I'm going to be with you. Lord, one day I'll be kind of good. And then when that happens, I come to you." No, it's not. It's God looking for a sinful man because He has a mission that He wants to accomplish, and He has a mission for that man one day. And then, Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, it was God who did the first missionary work. He was looking for man, and then when He found the man, and then the woman, of course, I have to include the woman, God took an animal, shed the blood, removed the skin, dried it up. Makes sense, right? Not wet, but dried up, and then put it as a covering, a replacement for leaves, something that's representing God's righteousness given upon us. But it was God who did it, right? Now, what is about that message? Well, a lot of things. We know that there are so many Gospels in the Bible. There are so many Gospels in the Bible. Right? I mean, and different from each other. In our time, we have by grace through faith. But that's not the case in the time of Noah. Noah cannot say, "Lord, I believe in you. And I accept it by faith," because he can do that, but still, you know, drown in the flood. Right? And so on, even in the time of Moses. But in our time, totally different. In the dispensation of grace, there is only one gospel. And when we talk about salvation, it talks about the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we call that grace. Christ has given us the message to preach. And I am a believer, 100%, that we have the truth for today. And bless the Lord, we found the truth in the scriptures, studying the Bible rightly divided, and we take pride in all our ministries doing that every day. It is, I mean, you feel like you know everything when you know the word rightly divided. You have the answer for everything. God has given us this word through Jesus Christ, through Paul, and then to us through the scriptures. And Apostle Paul, he was willing to risk and die for this grace message. And you know, you are familiar with Acts 20:24. I mean, nothing is new in this messages I'm sharing to you. The book of Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Very familiar, but it's good to be reminded with these things. Verse 24, but none of these things, Apostle Paul just listed up before this verse, the things that can happen to him. But he says, none of these things move me. Do I count my life dear unto myself? What's the reason? So that I may finish the race with joy, the ministry that I receive, what? From the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is that? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. And we know that. We know the grace message. And I'm going to talk more about that. For salvation, it's very clear. The gospel of salvation, clearly written and given to us, 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4. Christ died, He was buried, and rose again for our sins. For salvation. But that's just one step, right? That's the first step. For edification, we have to know the entire Bible. The whole counsel of God. And particularly in the time of grace. So, don't just be satisfied being saved. There are some more to that. God saved us to serve Him. God saved us to know Him more and more. God saved us so that we can be His ambassadors and representatives, carriers and bearers of God's word and ministry to this crooked and dark world. Now, I will come to the point where I call these messengers or ambassadors. Now, in the old times, God was working through Israel, right? And God made sure that Israel will do their part. God provided them the law. God provided them judges, kings, priests, prophets. And God could, give them everything. Unfortunately, we know Romans 11:32, they messed up things, right? God concluded them in unbelief. Why? Because they are unbelievers still. And then God made another plan. Romans 11:32. God concluded them in all in unbelief that He might have mercy upon all. That them, the chosen people of God, supposed to carry God's word, salvation, and mission all the way through us, to us, but they were unsuccessful. But God is faithful with His promise. He promised, and so He will do that. But in this time, He is using a different group of people. The body of Christ. Don't you know that in a time of grace, God is reaching out the world through the body of Christ? And who are the members of the body of Christ? You and me. Alright? You and me. It is His body that He is using. The church in the present dispensation. And He's working through us to reach out the world. And you know, how I wish that God would use angels. I mean, it would be really amazing. You know, I like to imagine angels coming down with loud trumpets. Hear ye, hear ye. You know, come. There will be an open air evangelistic crusade downtown. You know, and then angel what? Gabriel or you know, Michael will be delivering the good news of your salvation. I mean, I think so many people will believe and will get saved and, you know, will be very excited. God can use that. I mean, God can do that. But it pleases Him to use you and me, imperfect as we are in the physical beings, to fulfill His desire and plan for the world. I mean, I know you are right before the Lord. You are washed, you are sanctified, you are forgiven. I mean, you are standing before our wonderful God, perfect. Praise the Lord for that. But who among us can say you are perfect in the flesh? I mean, I'm the first one that's saying I'm not perfect. You know, somebody had a seminar about leadership. And the first point he mentioned there, a leader must be tall. Must be tall. It's like, tall. I'm short and I almost fell off my chair. Because I thought I'm a leader, and then this guy is giving a very high standard of a leader, must be tall. I don't know, he was a tall guy, but I thought, wow, I'm glad you are not God. Because if you are God, I will never be qualified to be a leader and a bearer of God's word. You know, I always think of myself like Moses. Cannot speak clearly the word, and you know that type of thinking. I grew up with a stammering tongue, and many times my mind is like thinking too fast, and my mouth is too slow. You know, and I grew up in a small town. Nobody cares about my opinion. You know, and yet now. You know, from time to time I stand to 3,000 people and preach. I preach to small, big audiences, to 700 people, to sometimes one, sometimes 1,000 or more. And people are listening. I mean, you don't know me, and I'm short, and I'm different. And if you are listening to me, it must be a God thing, right? There should be someone behind me that is worthy of giving your time and your attention, and you know, be able for you to sit down. And I know that man. I mean, I know him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one who called me, and he's the one who is calling you. And if you are saved, you are in his body. But in the time of grace, he is using the body, the church, in the present dispensation. And you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for example, verses 17 to 18, there's that word us. Alright? Let's just go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul is using the word us there as ambassadors and people who receive the message and the ministry. It says, verse 17, therefore, if anyone in Christ, that's anyone, right? He is a new creation. All old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I think that's the body of Christ. And all things are of God who has reconciled us. That's you and me in the body of Christ. And then it says, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the body of Christ. And then has given us or committed to us the word of reconciliation, that us, the body of Christ. He has given us the message, the ministry, and even the strategy to fulfill this desire of God to save the people on this earth. We have a part in the body of Christ. You know, we are all members of the body of Christ. That's our unity. Regardless of our languages and the color of our skin, regardless of who we are on this earth, but if you are saved, you are a member of the body of Christ. Nobody can change that. Even Satan cannot change that. That is permanent. But we also have our diversity. We have our unity in the body of Christ, but we also have our diversity in the body of Christ. Because if you look at the body of Christ, I firmly believe that it's just like our body. With eyes and nose and mouth and, you know, fingers and parts in particular. Because that's what Apostle Paul says. And he was using a physical illustration to compare the body. So, in unity, we are all in the body of Christ. But in diversity, we have parts and functions in Christ's body, and we are different. I have discovered long time ago that I am part of Christ's mouth. I love to talk. I must confess. I'm a quiet person, but hey, give me a chance. I can talk. When we studied the Bible school, We had no teachers yet. I was the only one. And I was talking from 9 to 5 with 1 hour break. And even during that break, the students would come over and ask questions. And I'd be talking while eating fried chicken, you know. And my wife would come and grab me and put me in a room all by myself so that I can finish my food. And then 5 o'clock comes, I think like, hey, I can start all over again without any problem, you know, for another 5 hours. And some of you can talk also. Some of you can talk. Because that's your part in Christ's body. You know, question number one, and this is an easy one. Are you a member of Christ's body? If you are saved, your answer is yes, right? But that's very easy. You know that. I got saved in 1990. Hey, still young in the Lord, right? But I know it. I'm a member of the body of Christ. There's no doubt about it. But here's question number two. I don't know if it's easy for you. Which part of Christ's body you think you belong? Because you cannot just say, I'm in Christ's body and wherever in Christ's body I belong, it's okay. No. Christ didn't say, okay, welcome to my body, just find your place. No. I believe because Paul is illustrating the body of Christ as a physical body, I think Christ and God knows where to put you. Alright? Two things. He puts you in that place because maybe your gift is there. Your gift is there. Or, God put you in that place and then He has given you some gifts so that you can function properly and effectively while you are in that place. But, you know, you must be in the body of Christ and you must be having a specific place in that body. The first question is about salvation. Are you a member of the body of Christ? Yes, that's salvation, right? But the second question is about ministry. Ministry. Where are you in Christ's body? Your answer to that defines your ministry. And if you don't know where are you in Christ's body until now, you don't have ministry. You are just coming to church and you think like it's a great ministry. No, you can do more. Alright? You can do more. I don't think except if you are this part. Alright? You're just like, I'm going to church Sunday morning and I'm going to be faithful sitting down. And then at the end I would say amen and say hello and then go back to my schedule. But, hey, you can do more than that. But you have to know, where are you in Christ's body? Are you a mouth of God? Or eye? Or ear? Or finger? Or hand? Or feet? But you must have your part and your place in Christ's body. Well, the guys here, obviously, they are part of Christ's mouth. They can sing beautifully. And you know what? I always desire to sing, but that's not... I can sing, but that's not my main gift. I'm trying to develop it, but I'm not a concert king yet, but you know what I mean? I can talk, I can preach, I can teach, but singing is a secondary gift for me. Alright? But I started giving too. I mean, our family started giving other missionaries, you know, of the things that we have. I mean, we don't have a lot, but we share what we have. So we are developing that gift, you know, that part of a hand that's just sharing. But where are you in Christ's body? Are you a heart, a mouth, ear, eye? Because all of these things, they have different functions, different ministries. And it's okay to be different. It's okay not to be able to sing. Because maybe you can love, you can counsel, you can talk, you can share, you can go. Don't you know that even until this moment, the eyes cannot go unless the feet will go? Right? And if you put all of this together, working as a body of Christ, fulfilling God's desire, I tell you, the mission of God would be a lot easier and more fruitful. You are an ambassador of Christ, regardless of your part in Christ's body. So I encourage you, talk to your family members, talk to your pastor. Pastor, what do you think I can do in the church, in the ministry? You know, ask people. If you don't know what's your strength, ask other people. Because maybe you need some help in developing and discovering your place in Christ's body and in the ministry as well. And then if you find your place and ministry, do it with all your heart. You'll be fulfilled, you'll be satisfied, and you feel like life is worth living. And while we are waiting for the Lord, you're waiting with excitement and joy. You are not just killing the time softly and slowly. All right? Well, I'm here, I'm just waiting for Christ's return. Killing time. No. God didn't save you just for you to kill time and wait for Him doing nothing. God saved you to serve Him. Amen? So, each of this part has a function and ministry to do, and each of this part has a method of doing the work. The eye is seeing, the hand is giving, the feet is going. I tell you, the feet is very important in the ministry. Some of us cannot go to the hospitals, but someone is there lying and in need of our help and prayer. And some of you, you cannot preach, you cannot sing, you cannot give, but you are the first one that goes. And some of you can give, and some of you can share, some of you can pray and can counsel. Just do what God asks you to do. I will close with Acts 13. I will try to observe my time here. But Acts 13 verse 3. I'm going to talk about ministry and your part. Book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 3. When we talk about mission, there are two groups of people that we can see. Very, very clearly mentioned in chapter 13 of the book of Acts. We'll be just going straight to verse 13 because of time. Verse 3, sorry. It says, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, so there's the word them, talking about Paul and Barnabas, or Saul and Barnabas, and then it says, they sent them away. So there's them and then they. Them, that's the sent ones. Okay? Paul and Barnabas, or Saul and Barnabas. And then they sent them away, the senders. Here, represented by the believers in Antioch. So you have sent ones and senders, just in one verse, doing the mission of God. Not all of us can be missionaries, I want to tell you that. Not all of us can be missionaries in a foreign land, I should say. Some of you don't want to leave your comfy beds, nice cars. You know what I mean? I don't have to elaborate on that. You know, one pastor in Washington State traveled through Asia, about 3 or 4 countries. And then we met him in Thailand, and he said, this is a confirmation that I'm not going to be a missionary. I said, brother, it's okay. It's okay. You know, we're not making you guilty that you are not going to be a missionary. It's okay. But he says, when I go back to my church, I'm going to mobilize my people to pray, support, and communicate missionaries. Make sure that they are involved in the mission work. I said, bless your heart. Touch it. You are on the other side of the mission definition, you know. You are not the one that's going, you are the one that's remaining, and yet you are also very important. The sent ones and the senders must work together to accomplish God's desire and God's mission on this earth. But who are the sent ones in our time? Who are the sent ones? Well, most of the time they are the trained missionaries. The people who are willing to speak forward in faith. Willing to apply for passports and visas. And, you know, these things, sometimes they are not easy to give. Willing to cross cultures and languages and borders. These are missionaries that are sometimes in trouble in the foreign land. We have a country, a very new mission field. Somebody said that from time to time they would buy cake and they would take this to the church. And the reason for that is because it's dangerous when the police would come and then the police would discover that they are a church and they are gathering for spiritual purposes, they will be in trouble. So they have a cake because when the police would come and then, you know, come closer to the door, they would sing happy birthday. Like, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, brother, you know. And the police would say, ah, okay, it's just a birthday party, so, you know, he goes. I mean, we are not doing that in South Africa, but there are missionaries doing that. And people are willing to leave their loved ones back to their home countries and deal with foreign people because of the work of the Lord. Not all of us can do that. And it's okay. I have a challenge for you. If you can, visit a mission field before you die. Visit a mission field before you die, if you can. You will be changed completely. You will look at your life and ministry in a totally different perspective. And if you want to be a missionary, hey, God's call is a lot louder when you are closer and closer to the place He wants you to work. But if for some reason you are not that person, you are not the sent one, it's okay to be a sender. And who are the senders? In this verse, the Antioch believers or church. And who are these people? They are the ones praying. The Bible says they are praying for them. You know, so many missionaries, they are in trouble in a foreign land. They are standing on the battlefield. And sometimes Satan would attack them. I mean, not sometimes. All the time Satan is attacking them. Because Satan knows when these missionaries are destroyed, it's a lot easier to destroy the ministries they are doing. But the reason why we feel so strong and able and capable to do the work is because we know that so many miles away, people are praying for us. People are mentioning us before the throne of grace. And for that, we thank you and we appreciate. We want senders. We appreciate senders who are partnering with us in many ways. When we travel around, not all people are giving. But people are tapping our shoulders and saying, we are with you. And they are writing emails and cards and commenting on Facebook. Facebook, what is this? Messengers. They are partnering with us and they are participating in what we do with projects and things like that. You know, senders that are with us because they love us and they love the Lord. I mean, they say, we love you and we are thinking of you more often. That means the world to us. More than $100. More than money. And many of you and this church particularly, and some of you individually and as a family, you are giving to us financially. We appreciate that. You know, someone was asking, why are you driving 6 hours just to visit me? And I'm giving you not much, like $10. I said, you know what? That's probably nothing to you. But for a guy who went to South Africa with $20, this is something. This is something. So I don't mind, we don't mind driving for hours and hours just to see you. Because we love you. And because you are part of us. Because you are one who's been so faithful. And every time we see your contribution on our monthly report, that's just amazing. You know, and then we went to Pennsylvania one time. And we visited this place. The house was in the middle of the forest, in the mountain. The GPS could hardly locate. I mean, I feel sorry for the GPS. It's like, you know, like recalculating. Could not find the house. And we were like thinking, are we in the right place? You know, sometimes in the movie, like, this is a scary place. But is there someone here? But it says, yeah, turn right, left, right. There must be someone here. And we found a place. We look at this very small house. And we got inside there. It's like, wow. You know, the people there, very sickly. They have Lyme disease. And then we know deep down in us, they are living really a tough life. And we had a great time. I'm always like energetic, you know, trying to encourage them and showing them our pictures and, you know, the things that we have shared to you. And then when we left, the wife handed us over an envelope. And we know right away it's money in there. It's money in there. And we said, no, this time, we are not going to receive it. Please, use it to buy medicine. Use it to fix your house or just do something with it. But not this time. We are okay. We have money for food, for gas. We are okay. You know? And then she said, you know, we've been poor all our lives. But there's only one time and one thing, one situation that we always feel we are rich. And that is when we give, especially to missionaries. When we meditate upon that situation and that word, I mean, that changed us completely. When we understood that, I thought, we don't have to wait until we are rich to get involved, to be part of something or to be part of a mission work. And so, last year, we as a family, with whatever we receive from you and from other people, we set aside some of those funds to support 5 mission fields and, you know, teams. We will never have enough. And we don't know if we will have a lot. But we always have the desire to be part of something that's alive and going. A movement that will last not just on this earth, but for eternity. And if you feel the same, we want you to pray for South Africa, pray for the missionaries, pray for the work of Things to Come Mission and GMI and other mission work throughout the world. Because your prayer, your finances, your email, you know, messages and comments on Facebook might be a world to them. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, for despite our imperfection in the flesh, and yet as members of the body of Christ, you have given us. And it pleases you to partner with us to fulfill your desire on this earth through us. We pray that we will be effective in the things that we do for your glory and glory alone. Amen.